Okay, let's continue now. We're going to have to rush, as usual, to get everything done here. We're in Romans 7. Let's pick this up in verse 16. This is Paul speaking. It says, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me." This is an apostle after all these years. And he says, sin dwells in him. It does you as well. "For I know," in verse 18, "for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." I think we can all associate ourselves with that. We know this is what happens. We're not different here. This is the same. Verse 20. "Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me." And he says something here. "I find then a law." I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That is a law, brethren. That is there. That's like a law of gravity. You have this satanic nature, this computer chip in you, always going against you. Always. It's a law. It's there. 22, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." See, under that circumcised heart of the man. "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members." That's what we struggle with daily, brethren. He says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" There is only one who can. Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Brethren, that's the way our lives are. And we should go on here because he talks more. Most people just stop there, but no, there's more. In chapter 8, starting in verse 1 of Romans, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ," or Christ Jesus, "who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Amen. Because that's what's with all of us. "For what the law could not do," that physical law, "in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Where are you today? You are minding the things after the Spirit, aren't you? Because you're in Sabbath service. We're here as a body. The body grows together, doesn't it? By the very Spirit of God Almighty. And that is how He reveals that Spirit and that knowledge to the church. It's through that physical church. a physical government that he and he alone can set up. It doesn't come from everybody. Never has, never will. God always works the same. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You're beginning to understand what life and peace are all about, aren't you? Finally, all of us. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity, that's hatred, hatred against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. It can't be. It just can't be subject to the law of God. Can't. Because that computer chip is in there. It's not working right. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify or kill the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We know that they are now the sons of God. Brethren, that's very encouraging to know that even though that computer chip is in there, up here in the mind, the very Spirit of God, what he wants to accomplish within you will get done. And you're covered by the very blood of Jesus Christ. So if you do sin, and you will, and the flesh runs out after flesh and death, you are covered by that. But you have the very promise of God in you by that Holy Spirit. And God is not slack concerning his promise. And he will raise you up at that time and change you. You will be his Spirit sons forever. Can you sin willfully, shaking your fist up at God? Say, now I know all of this, but pooey on you, God. I'm going to do it my way. The heck with you. Now, what person in their right mind would ever say that? Exactly. You wouldn't be in your right mind. So you wouldn't have known and understood, and you wouldn't have had God's Spirit, would you? Because if you had God's Spirit, you couldn't ever do that. You could never blaspheme against God. You could never say that His power of His Spirit would not accomplish this end. Could you? Never. Can't do it. You don't want to do it. Fear even thinking about if you could do it. You don't want to do that. You want to do it God's way. Although the body runs here and there, you still want to do it the right way. Let's look at a couple of scriptures that we've used in the past to absolutely condemn the whole human race, frankly. Hebrews 10, verse 26. With all of this background, we begin to see that this is Satan's fate, not man's fate. He causes us to sin. God does not impute sin on you. Satan hates God's law. And all the vengeance will come at him, that last judgment. But here in Hebrews 10, verse 26, it says, "For if we sin willfully..." Can you sin willfully? No. He says, "For if we sin willfully, that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for us and for sins." You know, that's true. If there was a way that you could willfully sin and do this unpardonable sin, that's it. I don't care how many times. You're going to hell. And it's over. And you've done away with the very blood of Christ. And it doesn't apply to you anymore. That's what would happen if you could do this. But you can't do this. There's only one who did it. Well, Satan and all of his devils did it. That group. Just keep on going. You start to see then that this is showing an attitude and a spirit. Verse 27, Hebrews 10, verse 27. "But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." Well, what is this fearful? We see that's in Satan. That's his character. It's not in ours. It says, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." And boy, that was true. Under the old law, well, not under the old law, is the law of God. But without Jesus Christ, you sinned, somebody saw you, they had witnesses, you're dead. Verse 29. "Of how much sore punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God?" Who trodden underfoot the Son of God? It's only one. "And hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing." He was there at the beginning, remember. "And hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, 'Vengeance belongs unto me, I will recompense, says the Lord.' And again, 'The Lord shall judge his people.'" Well, we know from Matthew 25 in the great last day, we know how he's going to judge his people. They're going to come in. "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." And I will tell you something. You just go ahead and wait for that day. And when we're all standing there on that judgment day, you see, you will see what a fearful thing it is to come into the hands of the living God and see what he's going to do to evil, to wretchedness. He goes on here, I don't have the time, but in verse 35 to 39, he talks about this. But he says, you know, we're not of that. We don't draw back, and we don't go back to sin. He says, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That's who we are. We have the confidence and hope and the very promise of God through that Holy Spirit, what he's going to do. We don't slack back. We don't go backwards. None of us have gone backwards. We've gone forwards. We're growing in grace and in knowledge. Because that's how God's Spirit is doing it within us. Thank God for that. Here's another one here in 2 Peter. Second Peter 2, starting in verse 9. It says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." See? He knows how to take and deliver the godly, all the sheep, And he knows how to reserve the unjust, Satan and his devils, to the day of judgment and punishment. He knows how to do that. Good thing he's doing it. Verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. Oh, we're starting to get into Satan's, all of his traits here, aren't we? They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. They don't mind speaking bad of the Father in heaven and of Jesus Christ and of any of God's servants and God's people. They blaspheme against them. These are these rotten angels and Satan. Whereas angels which are greater in power and might, these are the good angels, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. Oh no. No, the good angels see all of our sins, and you know what? They keep their mouths shut. Because they know the glory of God. They know the Spirit of God. They know the power of God. And they would never blaspheme against their Father. Well, against their God, not their Father. They would never do that. They know. They've been there. But these other ones, verse 12, but these are natural, brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed. They speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of the unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Oh yeah. Yeah, these spirits, of course, come inside of other human beings, and they come right with us, and boy, they're just going around, but they're just sin. That's all they are. God weeds them out. Having eyes full of adultery. See, they're practicing a wrong religion, aren't they? They're not worshiping God. Going to the strange God. Whoremonger. And that cannot cease from sin. They cannot cease from sin. Don't let anyone out of their mind to tell you, ooh, now wait a minute, maybe Satan, maybe all the demons will have a chance to repent. No! They were made to be destroyed. They cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and a heart that have exercised the covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and gone and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, this Baal, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. I'm going to skip down here a little bit. Talks about their wells without water, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. In verse 17, 18, and when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they lure through the lust of the flesh. That's what we saw in worldwide. Oh no, God loves you all. Oh, come on in. All this junk. Garbage. Garbage in, garbage out. That's why God has that spirit barrier up there on our ears. We don't let the garbage in. If you let it in, it's going to come out. Just don't even let it in. You see it to be wrong, forget it. Verse 19, while they promise them liberty, freedom, joy, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. Now we used to read this like, oh, if this happens now. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. But we have the promise that cannot happen to you. It did with all of them, didn't it? And it even shows what happens with people who come in the church and are here with us. And they may be here for 10 or 20 years. And then they go on. And they go right back in the world. You know what happens? It's even worse on them. It goes back in there. They go even further down. It says 4 in verse 20, "For has it been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them?" They knew the law of God. They were there. We read it in Romans. They knew. It had been better if they hadn't. But they had. They're going to die forever. Satan and his demons. And this is exactly what happens. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, "The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her own wallowing in the mire." It's exactly what happened. They were around the throne of God. And they just went to garbage, didn't they? They went to garbage. Hebrews 6. As long as we're going through a couple, this is really the big one that they all read. And I believe too. I didn't know. I just knew that if God's Spirit was working and dwelling in me, how could this ever happen? But I was told that it could. Well, it can't, brethren, and we can thank God for that. Hebrews 6, starting in verse 4. Look at the wording. It says, "For it is impossible." For it is impossible. "For those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit." That's you, brethren. Everyone who is sealed with God's Spirit. "And have tasted the good word of God." That's what we have been doing. "And the powers of the world to come." And that's what we experience. We look forward to that. If they shall fall away to renew. Wait a minute. It just said, "For it is impossible for that ever to happen." You cannot do it. But if it were allowed to happen, which it is not, which you can't do, this would be the end result. "If they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." Well, see, brethren, it can't happen. You're sealed. And if this were allowed to happen, then Christ's sacrifice was gone, wasn't it? Now you would have to ask Christ to crucify himself again, because that one was done. It's over. Now he has to come back and do it again for you. Do you think God's that stupid? Christ would be like a yo-yo coming up and down from heaven. Come down, be crossed, up and down, up and down, up and down. If that were the case, you know, I know a spirit under God's power will live forever. But in this case, if he had to come back and do this every time we went away, even that spirit being would die. I'm sure of it. He'd say, "Father, I'm just too tired. I've been coming down here every day for the last 20,000 years, and it still isn't right. I just want to lay down and die. I can't do it anymore. Can't we do it just once?" Well, of course, the right mind does it once. He says he did it once. He came into that Holy of Holies once. Not like the priests have to do it year after year after. Once the sacrifice is. Once. You can't do it. It doesn't work that way. In verse 8, "But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected." We know that's Satan. "And is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." Who's going to do that? Satan. "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation. That's what they speak about. It's salvation. For, let's see, down in verse 12 here, I want to jump down. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith, how do you do that? Through the Spirit of God, that's the fruit of the Spirit, faith and patience inherit the promises. You inherit the promises by being sealed, being 144,000, being part of that. God will deliver salvation. He does what He promises. Can you commit the unpardonable sin? No! You cannot. Man cannot commit the unpardonable sin. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible to do that. You can't do it. You might ask, well, why are you saying this? Don't we have free moral agency? Of course you don't have free moral agency. If you had free moral agency, you'd be as stupid as Satan. You want to be as stupid as he is? Because you choose the wrong thing every time. He couldn't even choose. God made him that way. Do you think he's going to give you a choice? Of course not. Because you know what? He loves you. And he doesn't want you to miss out on the most fantastic life in the universe. Because you're his children. And all the children of the world are his children. And he doesn't want any one of them to miss a fantastic life forever with him. Joy and peace and happiness. That's why he didn't give you free choice. Because every one of us would have said, howdy-os, I'm going to hell. And if you don't believe that, maybe you should go to some Protestant church. Because if I can't get through to you on this, you know. But I do get through to you on this, and you do know this is a fact. And you know that you are the very first fruits of God. Turn to Timothy. We're going to go through these pretty quick, as far as I can. And then I'll quickly start quoting them, because I want you to have these. 1 Timothy 2. You know, what about the strength? Do you have the strength? Can you do this? You know, someone else has already done the unpardonable sin and will pay the price forever. And that's Satan. But what about us? 1 Timothy 2, starting in verse 4. It says, and I know I'm breaking into these different scriptures. You can go back and read them later. It says, Who will have all men to be saved? It's talking about your Father. And to come unto the knowledge of the truth. All men to be saved. Not just the ones I don't like. No, all of them. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, and that man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Not just you, all. Everyone. Matthew 18. You know, we start to get into the mind of God here. It's a little different than our mind. It's a little different than that satanic garbage that we've been taught. Matthew 18, verse 14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Brethren, when you die, you have a will. And that will by law is carried out exactly by the word that you wrote it. It's the same thing. It says, even so, it is not the will of your Father. This is the will of your Father, not a hope. This is the very will of your Father, that not one should perish. It's not going to. 2 Peter We're going to flip here a little bit. If it's not the will of your Father, how are you going to change that? You can't. Sorry, you're just not strong enough. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. That promise was to give the Holy Spirit an eternal life. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to change or repentance. And we know what will happen on that day, that great last day. They will. They won't have Satan's spirit in them anymore. They'll have the very Spirit of God in them. And they will change. You always change with God's Spirit. But He's not willing that any should perish. It's the Father's will to do this. John 6. Got to go quickly. John 6, verse 39 and 40. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise Him up at the last day. You know, on the last day, all will be there. They will all see the Son, won't they? And they will all believe on Him, won't they? You get the chance to believe on Him now. They'll have that opportunity then. And they will. And they will be there. Isaiah 55. If we can do this quickly, I might get all these in. Isaiah 55. I can't wait for you. Isaiah 55, verse 11. It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereof I have sent it. When He says it's going to happen, it's going to happen, and He will accomplish it. Period. All that can be said there. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verse 27. It says, for the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And His hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Who shall disannul what God has in His plan? Who can stand up against the great Father? No one. No one. Romans 9. You know, when you read a few scriptures like this, you go, well, wait a minute, I guess man can't do anything, can he? Of course he can't. Romans 9, verse 19. Thou wilt say then unto me, why does He yet find fault? For who hath resisted His will? Who can resist the very will of God? You can't. In your best day on this earth, you can't. You can't do it. That's why God gets all the glory. It was never about us. It was always about Him. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 22. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Can we do something better than him? And, I don't... Hey! He said, this is the way it's going to be, and that's the way it's going to be. Satan had us thinking we could actually do something. Well, we're wrong. Satan was wrong. Now we know that we have the light now, don't we? We have the very light, and that's Jesus Christ. And that door is open, and we're growing in grace and in knowledge, aren't we? Turn to John 10. You can commit the unpardonable sin? You have the audacity to say you're stronger than God? Do you have the guts to say that you can do this? No. No, that's foolish thinking. And God certainly winks at the time of ignorance. And that is ignorance. And He winked at all of us, didn't He? In John 10, we know this about the sheep and the pasture and what Christ and the Father has done. In verse 27, Christ says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." They're not running some other place. They're not doing their own thing. Verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand." Do you think you're strong enough? You think you can go the other way? You can't. Can't be done, brethren. And it says in verse 29, "My Father, which gave them Me." Remember, He gave all things to Christ. That Christ was the judge over all things. Yeah, that was all humanity, wasn't it? He gave all humanity to Jesus Christ. We just read those scriptures that He will lose none of them. Not one of them. That's His commission. Jesus Christ will not fail. He works on the authority and power of Almighty God. We will not blaspheme that Spirit to say that He will not accomplish that. He will. Verse 29, "My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all, and no man or no angel is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand." You want security? You got it. You want strength? You've got it. You want hope and confidence? You have it. You can never be plucked out of His hand. This is the great, holy Father in heaven that we will worship for all time. Why? Because He deserves to be worshipped. Because He is all love. And that's what love does. Brethren, no one can take you out of that hand. Jesus Christ says that when I start a good work in you, I will finish it. You want to blaspheme against that one? I don't. Can you commit the unpardonable sin? No. We love God because He loved us first. And always remember that. He loved us first. It's the only way we can even love Him. God keeps His promises, brethren. Always. You are sealed. You are His. You are His workmanship. No one can pluck you out of His hand. No, not even you. You can't even do it. No one can. Satan is the one who sins and causes sin and has committed the unpardonable sin and will never repent of it. He can't. He can't. He cannot cease from doing evil. That's the way he was created and made. Brute beast to be destroyed. We are covered, brethren, by the blood of Jesus Christ. One sacrifice. It was so great that Christ had to go into the Holy of Holies once to cover all mankind forever. Forever. Never to have to repeat that. It is impossible for you to turn away. You cannot turn away. It is an impossibility. Don't ever let anyone convince you of something different. Have the hope and the confidence in God's true plan of salvation. God, your Father in heaven, loves you. Love Him. Learn to love Him, brethren. Brethren, it is a wonderful and a great, marvelous revelation that God has given His church where He is working. This knowledge of the true plan of salvation, the very promises that God has given each one of us, absolute assurity, the confidence, and the hope that none of us can ever be plucked out of His hand. When He starts a work, He will finish it. We're not stronger than God. God is molding us. We are the clay. We have no hands. He has the hands. He molds us to what He wants us to be and what stage of the church eras that we are in. Brethren, you can thank God that all of us, the 144,000, 2,000 years ago it began with Christ, and then at Pentecost, the receiving of that Spirit to more people, and all the way through time with us. We can be thankful that God is absolutely assured on what He's going to do. That He never wavers, never sways, is absolutely perfect, and we will be there forever with our Father and with all of our family together with Him. So we can be very, very thankful. We cannot commit the unpardonable sin. That's already been done. It's been there, what do they say, seen that, done that, been there, whatever. Satan's already done all that. And He's going to die for it. We're going to all live. Humans, His family, will live forever. Satan will die because he did commit the unpardonable sin. So again, pray for everyone. And pray for everyone, protection and guidance and healing powers, that people are not sick anymore. And that we all return next week at the given time. So at that time, this time I think that we'll go ahead and close then.